where the skirmish always seems to happen. It's that person. But against rulers, against powers, against world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenlies. Verse 13. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm. The take up is not as if it's sitting over there in the corner somewhere in a closet, but rather, do you remember what I am for you? Who I am to you? Take it on, because you need it right now. Make this application full. Keep going with me. Stand firm, therefore, having, it's a done deal, girded your loins with truth, Jesus. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, that's Jesus. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, he is my Prince of Peace. In addition to all, New American Standard reads, taking up the shield of faith with which you may be able to, or will be able to, extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. Prayer is part of this whole thing. With this in view, be on alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. In verse 16, the imagery was from these people's reality. Wars were actually physically fought this way. The darts or the small arrows weren't launched from a distance. It was more up close, and they were covered with cotton, and they were dipped in pitch and lit on fire before they were being shot. He takes that image and applies it to us in our spiritual walk, us that belong to the living God. Take up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish those flaming missiles of the evil one. We need to work our way down through some of the imagery and then get back to the wording and then to the application this morning. There were two types of shields that were used in this day and age. One is about 2.5 feet in diameter and round. It was used in the cavalry. You're on horseback, man, you don't have much room for anything else. That is not the word used here. The other type of shield was about 4 feet. And it went from the top of the greaves at the knee up to the eye level for body protection for the infantryman, if you will. It was out there, and it was your shield in the battle. And over and over in the Psalms, we see David saying, "The Lord is my shield, my defender, my defense, my refuge, my rock." You know, all of these terms. And now we come to this and say, now, put this on. Now, this shield of faith, a couple of the other items, the evil one at the end of verse 16, the flaming missiles of the evil one, the wicked one, is specifically the devil in this context. He is called the devil. It is Satan. But the wording does not restrict the arrows to Satan as though he alone shot them. But no matter who fires them, he owns them. It's not as if the devil is out. He's one place at one time. He's not like our God, ever present. He's got a bunch of henchmen in that spirit world and people that are in our life. Yet when this kind of a dart is fired, he's the owner of such. It is of him. The wording at the beginning of verse 16, in addition to all, is more accurately in all things, meaning on all occasions. You see, these pieces of armor, there's not a time when I just need a helmet. There's not a time when I only need, you know, this or that. It's together. It's all together for our protection, and it is God protecting us. In addition to all, should be in all things, and it means on all occasions. The shield of faith, the wording shield of faith also misses an important point. I was not very good at grammar. I was much better when I was in school at climbing trees. And I'm sorry to say, picking on my two younger brothers. You start talking grammar to me, and my mind was out there somewhere, and I still struggle with that. Thank you to you that have had input in my life correcting some of my grammar. But one of the things that I have learned is what a definite article is. There is one here that is missed in most of our translations. The shield of the faith. And that becomes really important as we move forward. You'll hopefully understand this. The shield of the faith. The faith is referring to that which is believed. If it were not embraced by believers, it could not be called the faith. The flaming or fiery darts is not just here in the text for effect. It is something real. It refers to something which happens within us that may be as bad as actual flame. Quoting Mr. Linsky, one of the commentaries I like to pick up, the mind is set on fire with lies. On entering, the fire sets up a conflagration which turns everything to ruin and ashes. I would add to that quote, not only mind, but enters the emotions. The enemy fires these arrows, many of which are whispered thoughts, attacking my own stand in the Lord Jesus, causing me to question whether I truly belong to the Lord. Could he love somebody like me? Would he really forgive me? If allowed to burn in me, I might conclude that I do not belong to him. It may be whispers of guilt, whispers of condemnation, anything that will make me insecure with God, to make me uncertain rather than confident. It is a personal attack on the faith, which I say I hold to. The enemy attacks my faith, which my faith is the application of my belief. My belief lies within the first three pieces of armor. And the order is important, the order they are presented. You see, I cannot start in my problem right now with peace, trying to drum up enough something to make it a place of serenity now. I can't start there. I have to start with truth. Wait a minute. I need to start with truth. I move to righteousness. Wait a minute, that's not right. And from there to peace. I must apply this in my mind in the present circumstance where my belief is being challenged. How or what it is these arrows are, it burns in me. The image is really profound, I believe, and we have all experienced this. Two different aspects. I'm dealing with the first one that's a priority. We'll deal with the secondary one in a moment, which is more personal and applicable. These arrows are things that are said or thoughts that come from nowhere. Am I the only guy that in the middle of prayer I have some lewd thought that comes in? That's only me, right? I'm confessing my sin. I'm the guilty guy. Man, where did that come from? These arrows are whispered thoughts. Things that shake my faith, that cause me to doubt, that cause me to fear, that get to my core and affect my emotions, my feelings, and possibly my belief. Raising the shield of faith to extinguish those fiery darts is taking my mind on an exercise back to Jesus, who is the truth, and reminding the enemy and myself that I do believe in him. Taking my mind back to Jesus, who is my righteousness. Thus, no one can bring a charge against me. There is no longer condemnation. It's taking my mind back to Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace, by whom I have peace with God. Taking up that shield of the faith, this is what I believe. Wait a minute. What I'm being attacked with is not true. Aaron, would you get my Bible bag underneath that chair? I need it here very soon, please. Thank you, my man. Mr. Linsky again says this about this piece of armor. Hold up to the devil, not merely your believing or subjective faith, but the word, the doctrine, the pertinent scriptures, the objective content of the faith. That's what Jesus did. That's what Eve failed to do. And relying on its truth and power. Somebody that discipled me from a distance, some pastor, Peninsula Bible Church, Mrs. Wolf, Dr. Ray Steadman has this, similar to Linsky. I really appreciate his wording, so I want to give it to you. Using the shield of faith means refusal to feel condemned or to feel guilty. God loves me. He says so. He says, nothing will change that. Nothing will separate us. Nothing I do or fail to do will separate us. All right, then, I will believe that. I will not believe the thought that God does not love me and does not want me. You see, you cannot entertain both thoughts. No man can serve two masters. And it also comes to James' description of a double-minded man. Christ is the ground of my peace. Therefore, it is his responsibility to take me through every situation. So I cannot, I will not believe this fear, this sudden anxiety which grips my heart. I will not believe that it is from me. It is simply sent to shake my confidence in Christ. It is an attempt to destroy my peace. But Christ is adequate for even this, and I refuse to change. I like that. You know, there's something I can grab up and take personally right there. In other words, this is true, therefore that is a lie, and I refuse to accept it. Yet another aspect of this shield of faith. Oh my, would you please turn to James chapter 3? We'll be coming back here, but James 3. So common. In this passage, James is talking about our tongue. Everybody got one of those, and it's not always in the best of control. James 3, verses 5 and 6. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, yet it boasts great things. Behold, how great a forest is set aflame, there's our image again, by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. the tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. Oh my. I wonder if this relates to what Paul's talking about here in this fiery dart arena. I think it absolutely is. We've all been affected by spoken words. Thankfully, many of those have been positive and encouraging. Yeah, that helps. They've built us up. But then there are the awful ones, purposely used to tear us down. They have been thrust at us by another person. Yet because of the damage they do, we can identify them as belonging to the devil, though they came through this human being. For the sake of honesty and integrity, I must ask, how many fiery darts have I launched, even at people I dearly love? God only knows. And I have to say hallelujah for forgiveness from him and sometimes from that person that I injured. Here's how it gets real personal. I did not use an arrow with cotton and pitch, but I did want it to sting. I wanted it to hurt because they deserve it. I wanted them to feel the pain or to bring them to a place of admitting they were wrong and I was right. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4, please. And of course, we could get real wordy about this one. A lot of scriptures addresses. Proverbs is full of stuff that could be appropriate right here. But Ephesians 4, Paul has already dealt with it. Verse 29, let no literally rotten word proceed from your mouth. Unhealthy, unwholesome, hurtful words. Let no rotten word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. Otherwise, my tongue goes to that place of use by the enemy. Whew. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And you can go on in that next two verses. Turn to Colossians, the next book, knows two to the right from Ephesians. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned as it were with salt, so that you may know how you should respond to each person. The aspect of the fiery darts that I need to face into has to do with that which is said by another or said to me, that gets in and it burns inside of me. It makes me feel inadequate. It makes me think that I have to watch out because everybody's thinking something about me. I've been beaten down and I've got these areas in my life that God needs to heal. The shield of the faith at that point, I come back to the truth. What is the truth? I am in Jesus. I'm loved by Jesus. Even if I failed this person, he still looks at me differently. Do I still make bad choices? Yes, I still make bad choices. But he loves me. I don't have to worry that God is like people that, oh man, he's keeping a close account and you better match up, buddy. The shield of faith comes back to the truth of who I am in Jesus. I am secure in him. You know, there's an aspect of counseling I've got into with quite a few people. They come in with their particular problem. And sometimes the problem is that they are not being loved by another individual, specifically their husband, as the wife comes in. Oftentimes the husband comes in and says, I'm not being respected by my wife. We talked about this a little bit in Ephesians 5 at the very end. If I am dependent on your love for me, I'm going to trip up soon. Because you cannot always be consistent in loving me. I have to come back to the truth and the fact that God loves me unconditionally, absolutely. There's nothing I can do to earn any more of that love. I am secure in him. That security of love makes me able to take what comes at me that I don't have a choice about. Thank you, Lord. Shield of faith. On the other side is the sending part. And I've read just two scriptures about that. Ephesians 4 and Colossians 4. I need to really reconsider my words. I really need to reconsider my motivation for saying what I'm saying. Sometimes I'm speaking the truth, but Ephesians 4 tells me to speak truth in love. There's a different way. The shield of faith guards me because Satan is wanting to use those, either my words to somebody or their words to me, to defeat us, discourage us, derail us, depress us. And we can go on and on with words. Frustrate and anger and bitterness. Shield of the faith. Thank you for you, who you are to me, Lord God. When attacked by others, it may not be an attack on my belief in God, but rather on an attack on my belief about me. At those times, I must hold up the shield of faith and not allow the enemy to pervert my thinking about me. This comes right back to who I am in Jesus. Would you please end with me in Romans 12? I liked what Dr. Stedman said, that I belong to Jesus. It's his responsibility to get me through this. I liked it. Romans chapter 12. Join me at verse 17. My part, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Take thought for what is right in the sight of all men. Consider their position. Consider their angle. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. The Lord Jesus said, pray for your enemy. Pray for those and bless those that persecute you. Boy, that's different than the world way. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Two different things that might be. Let's just leave it at God is taking over and can use what you are doing to bless the person. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That is where God wants to take us in this whole thought about the armor of God. Do you understand that he's been teaching us, first of all, in Ephesians 1, beginning at verse 1, about truth? First piece of the armor. Truth about who God is and truth about who I am in God. Who I am in God, he talks about our righteousness. Wow. And he talks about the peace that he came to bring. Piece by piece, in that order, in Ephesians. And to take it on, in addition, or in on all occasions, take up the shield of faith. Walk in what he has given to us as true, because it is true. What's the most can be done to me? Destruction of my body. If I take it personally, I'm going to personally be injured. Sometimes I need to just say, God, help me to let it go. One of the aspects of forgiveness, to let it go. Open up for questions, interaction.
Well, I was just noting the scripture we were talking about, and one of the verses I've been memorizing lately is James chapter 1, verses 19 through 20.
Nice.
It actually does touch on that subject. It's James, and he's saying, let every man be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, because the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God.
Amen.
And I found it interesting. It's not easy, because being quick to hear and slow to speak is almost the exact opposite of what everybody does naturally. It's slow to anger as well.
Good observation. Absolutely on target. Thank you so much, Olivia. James 1, specifically verse 19. She's in 19 and 20. Excellent. Ron?
When do we get to sit back in the big comfort chair and read Colossians 3:15?
I fantasize about that. Good question. Cade, go ahead.
Yeah, love, joy, peace, meekness, gentleness, self-control. You know, the Lord says that when we sow to the Spirit, so like in this full armor of God, you know, one of the great things that we read from sowing in that is possession of our own vessel. And, you know, it talks about a maturing Christian and how possessing his own vessel is such a significant part of growing up or becoming an adult in the Word.
Okay. Thank you. Dave?
You know, my mind kept going back to Job a lot. Fiery missiles, temptation, persecution. And he was set upon by Satan himself. We know that from the story. And he went through so much more than most of us do. And he came down to Job 19 that says, I know my Redeemer lives. And as you keep going back through each one of these pieces of armor that God supplies, they all go right back to Jesus, as you said. He is the truth. He is our peace. He is our righteousness. He is the Word of God. And the story of Job is popular for a reason. Because we can see that we know that we have a foundation in Jesus, in our Redeemer. And I love what Job says. And at the last, he will take his stand upon this earth. Jesus is coming back sooner than some of us think.
Thank you. Amen.
It's interesting to notice how in today's politically correct world, all kinds of denigration and words are prohibited. You'll be censured, you'll be defamed. And a lot of that is perfectly correct. You don't want to call people bad names based on their race or whatever. But why? Why is the point? Nowhere among these people does it say, that's incorrect. Because God is correct. No, they say, you can't say this, that, or the other thing because I'm correct. And that's completely the wrong motivation.
Good. Elizabeth?
I was thinking that in Corinthians 13, it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, if I have not love, and fiery darts have no love in them when they're sent. If your words have love, then they're going to hit the target.
Thank you. Good. Concluding thought that I want to communicate. This is an exercise intended for us to go through by God. To remind ourselves of who Jesus is to me at this moment. It's not that I can do this today and I got it from here on out. It's not that I've lost it. It's that my mind needs to renew it. I need to go through the exercise of this. That is what is intended here on all occasions. Next is the helmet of salvation. It's related to this. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, is related to this. In verse 18, pray. And that prayer is not reminding God of who He is. That prayer is seeking the God who has you in His grip and reminding yourself that you are in that grip. Let's sing one more song.